Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Yesterday, we referred to God as first, others second, and me third. And the readings today continue to deal with that theme from a point of self-centeredness. How self-centered are we? And you can say, oh, no, I'm generous. I do this. I'm not self-centered. When something either very challenging happens or something very wonderful happens, who do you think of first? Most of the time, it's me. What effect does this have on me? What does this mean for me? What is this going to cost me? What do I have to do? We're always concerned about me. All of us. Self-centered defines us as human beings, except for some of the great saints. And what I want to say to you is, you don't have to live life that way. You don't have to live life where you are the center, so to speak, of the universe. And you can say, oh, I'm not. But take a day. I know you can't do this every moment. I know that, but just take one day and monitor your thinking. Just every time you think, oh, what am I thinking now? Jot it down. Just jot it down. And at the end of the day, see how much of your thinking is self-centered. And don't not write it down because, oh, that's a self-centered thought. I'm not going to put that down. Be honest with yourself. Just take stock for one day. Just take stock for what, at least every hour, what you're thinking. You'd be amazed. Most of the time, if life around you is normal, and that, of course, that might not happen, but ordinarily, if life around you is normal, everything's kind of in the status quo, most of your thoughts are going to be about yourself. The Lord wants to be the center of our thoughts. Let's take a look at the readings for today. First reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 5 to 16. Brothers and sisters, we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are parts of one another. See, that very image is alien to us in many ways. We are, though many, are one body in Christ. We are individually parts of one another. We are Christ's body. We are Christ's family. We are part of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us exercise them. If prophecy in proportion to the faith, if ministry in ministering, if one is a teacher in teaching, if one exhorts in exhortation, if one contributes in generosity, if one is over others with diligence, in other words, do it well. Pay attention to those that you oversee. Pay attention and care for them. If one does acts of mercy, do it with cheerfulness. Or are you so self-centered that all you can think of is what I'm going to get out of this, rather than giving away who you are and what you have with kindness, with mercy, with charity? How do you live your life? Let love be sincere. Hate what is evil. Hold on to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Anticipate one another in showing honor. Do not grow slack in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Endure in affliction. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the holy ones. Exercise hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Have the same regard for one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. What is it that Jesus tells us when he taught us the Lord's Prayer? Think of that for a moment. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, not for the next year. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So what you're doing in that prayer, and I've said this before, but I want to underline it again, because we can say those words speedily. God hears every word every time we pray it, hoping that there'll be a change in our soul that we'll begin to understand what we're praying. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. God is asking us to forgive as he forgives. Have the same regard for one another. Do not be haughty. Associate with the lowly. God wants all of his children, rich, poor, whatever, gifted, not gifted. He wants all of us to be one body in Christ, the family of God. He wants us to care for one another, forgive one another. That's not just a high and lofty goal. God will give the grace. But we have to decide that we're going to forgive and receive the grace. Love one another as I have loved you. Otherwise, why would we call ourselves Christian? We're not doing some of the most basic things that God asks of us. Psalm 131, in you, O Lord, I have found my peace. See, there's the answer. That when you say, well, I'll forgive them if they do this or do that. And we set up all kinds of our own self-standards, self-serving standards. That's what we set up. But what does Scripture tell us? Lord, my heart is not proud, nor are my eyes haughty. I busy not myself with great things, nor with things too sublime for me. Nay, rather, I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child, on its mother's lap. So is my soul within me. In other words, I'm content to be near the Lord. I'm content to be with him. I am content in my relationship with him. That's where the contentment comes from. Not that I have everything that I want. Not that I have discharged a debt and taken away the debt of another person toward me. It's not those things, though they may sound good, but it's not those things, those acts. They help, but they don't bring us into real discipleship with Christ until we're really willing to say, Lord, give me the grace to forgive as you forgive. Give me the grace to walk more closely with you. Give me the grace, Lord, to hear your word and to obey it. Give me the grace, Lord, to receive the love that you have for me, that I may walk with you and in you and for you and through you. And may I reach out to my enemies. May I reach out to the poor and the weak, the sick, the suffering. May I reach out, O Lord, by your power and by your grace. That's the true Christian. How close are you to that? And don't get downcast. Don't get downcast and upset if you're not in that place where you say, oh, well, these two things I do, but I don't do these others. Just take one of them, just one that you don't do, one action or one attitude or one service that you don't do that you know you should. Add it in. Begin to practice it. And as you do, you're going to begin to experience God drawing closer to you. And our service to others brings us to a place where we know the Lord's joy and the Lord's peace, and there is no greater gift in this life than that. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 15 to 24. One of those at table with Jesus said to him, "Blessed is the one who will dine in the kingdom of God." And he replied, "A man gave a great dinner to which he invited many, and when the time for the dinner came, he dispatched his servant to say to those invited, 'Come, everything is now ready.' But one by one, they all began to excuse themselves. The first said to him, 'I've purchased a field. I have to go and examine it. I ask you, consider me excused.' And another said, 'I've purchased 5 yoke of oxen and am on my way to evaluate them. I ask you, consider me excused.' And another said, 'I have just married a woman and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant went and reported this to his master. And then the master of the house, in a rage, commanded his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town. Bring in here the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame.' And the servant reported, 'Sir, your orders have been carried out, and still there is room.' And the master then ordered the servant, 'Go out to the highways and the hedgerows and make people come in, that my home may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner.'" In other words, brothers and sisters, when we've been baptized, we are invited to the eternal banquet. And if we decide somewhere along the line that none of this God thing, so to speak, matters, and we go off on our own way and doing our own thing, we will not be invited to the eternal banquet. And I do mean this. This is true. Brothers and sisters, when you and I die, we, I think, want to die in the peace of Christ, opening our hearts and readying ourselves for eternal life with him. We want to confess our sin. We want to repent so that while we're still here, that God can take up his residence more in us. We all fall and we all fail, but if we repent, his presence with us is restored. Don't ever give up because you say you fall so many times. Don't ever give up. Just get back up on your feet, and God will draw you closer and closer to himself, so that when you and I die, he's going to be waiting for us. "Come, blessed my Father, come and receive what God has prepared for you." That's what awaits us. That's what we're living this life for. It's not just outward show. It's got to come from our heart. Ask him. Brothers and sisters, there is so much today, especially with all of our access to the media. There is so much today that people get distracted and they get caught up in this or caught up in that. And they never really speak to God during the day, the most important person in each of our lives. And many people, they say they're Christian, they say they're Catholic, but they don't even take time to talk with God or spend time with God. Even here in our human world, what kind of friend would we be if we did that to one another? The Lord calls us his friends. Let us truly be his sons, his daughters, and his friends. May God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.